FM.
Seven 38, you're listening to 100.5 FM on another beautiful day that God has given us. I hope you do something amazing with it. It is hard to believe, absolutely hard to believe, but it has been 6 years ago today that Prince passed away. Man, I just so love his music, and this is maybe my favorite song of his.
Wow, yeah.
6 years ago, can you believe it?
It is hard to believe.
It's just crazy. Just
time
crazy.
Flies. The older we get, the faster it goes.
Yes, well, mine's always operated in 3/4 time, but now it feels like it's in 2/4 time. I'm telling you, it's speeding up, no doubt. Dr. Michael Champion in the house. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
So, Fanad, wow, that was a slip-up. Fahad Nasser is the spokesperson for the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. He has been on the show many, many times, and we're glad to have him back again. He apparently took our call when we wanted to talk to him. Fahad, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Ray. It's good to be with you again.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. Hey, there's a lot to get to, but I want to start with this and get your reaction to it. It is being widely reported in America media and international media that National Security Advisor for the United States, Jake Sullivan, met with the Saudi Crown Prince, and they got into an argument, and basically, because Sullivan confronted the Crown Prince over Jamal Khashoggi, and the Crown Prince basically yelled at him and said, "We will not produce more oil." What is your reaction to all that?
So contrary to the report, the relationship is longstanding and it remains strong. There's virtually daily communication between Saudi officials and their American counterparts. There's close coordination on a long list of issues, including security, defense, counterterrorism, strengthening economic cooperation and investment between our two countries. We even work fairly closely together on certainly energy issues, but also issues pertaining to the climate. So the two countries are coordinating closely on a number of issues, including Yemen. And frankly, this report is simply not accurate.
So this report that's in international papers and in the American papers is not true?
It is not true. No, it is. We actually issued a statement yesterday, and we described it as riddled with fallacies.
So are you guys going to produce more oil? I know the president has said he's reached out to the Saudis to produce more oil because the demand is up. And as you know, oil is a gasoline in this country is an all-time high in many places around the world. Are you guys going to produce more oil?
So Saudi Arabia was instrumental back in April of 2020 in bringing much-needed stability to international energy markets. As you recall, we were part of an OPEC Plus agreement that includes well over 20 countries. Back then, oil prices were essentially in free fall, so this agreement was reached. It was historic in many ways, and it brought much-needed stability. Now, we are still observing some of these the commitments to the agreement. And, even according to statements by President Biden, the increase in recent energy prices is largely due to political factors, primarily the Ukraine crisis. So, Saudi Arabia has long played a role in maintaining and stabilizing international energy markets. I think we've been a leader in that front. There's an expectation among both producers and consumers of energy. We have done more than our part over the years, and we'll continue to work with not just energy producers, but also energy consumers. And this is a conversation that we are continuing to have with the United States and other countries.
So one of the things you said that was important here is that the United States and Saudi Arabia are in constant contact. The White House recently said that they were calling Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia wasn't taking their call. Is that also not true?
No, that's not true. I mean, as I said at the outset, we are virtually in constant contact on a daily basis and on multiple levels at the very senior top leadership, but also on an operational level, whether it's issues of you know, political crisis, security cooperation, military coordination, and, you know, joint military exercises that continue to take place on a regular basis. We had two very senior officials come to the United States. Our foreign minister was here a few months ago. Our vice defense minister was here also a few months ago, met with senior officials in the administration. So I don't think this perception is very accurate, to be honest.
Wow. Well, you know, the American media is not very good anymore, so that might make a lot of sense. All right, let me ask you about this. There has been this battle going on in Yemen, and correct me if I'm wrong, but for Ramadan, there is currently a ceasefire. Is that true?
That is true, yeah. And the ceasefire is basically a part of Saudi Arabia's, is one element of Saudi Arabia's effort to restore peace, stability, and prosperity to Yemen. I think we are working on multiple tracks to do that. We are working very closely with the United Nations envoy for Yemen. He was the one who basically called for this truce, and it is allowing for mediation efforts to go forward. But not only that, we are also working very closely with the U.S. envoy, who is Tim Lenderking. He's the special envoy for Yemen. And Mr. Tim Lenderking is in the kingdom quite often, I'd say maybe once a month or so. So that dialogue is continuing. And, you know, in addition to all of that, we're also the top provider of humanitarian aid to Yemen. As of last account, we've provided $17 billion of assistance. This has been in the form of shipments of food, medicine, support to the central bank, support to internationally displaced people. So we're doing everything we can to bring peace to Yemen. Ultimately, the main barrier to the conflict, which is also how the conflict started in the first place, is this Iranian-backed Houthi militia that started this war. They have to lay down their weapons and go back to the negotiating table and, frankly, stop thinking that they can impose their will on the people of Yemen.
So, knowing Iran, as we do, and we certainly do, that's unlikely to happen.
Well, there are some positive developments. Just a couple of weeks ago, and these were actually the kingdom, I forgot to mention this, the kingdom is also hosting Yemeni-to-Yemeni talks in Riyadh a few weeks ago, and these have already borne fruit. The Yemeni leadership established what is called the Presidential Leadership Council just a couple of weeks ago. In fact, it was sworn in last night, and it's a fairly representative body, composed of eight different people representing different elements and segments of Yemeni society. I think that represents a fairly positive step forward towards bringing a resolution to this conflict once and for all.
So is the ceasefire just in place for Ramadan, or do you expect it to be extended?
Well, it's for 2 months, and as it is being observed, there are multiple levels to reach political resolution. As I said, you have Yemeni-to-Yemeni talks. The United Nations is very involved. Saudi Arabia itself presented a very comprehensive, you know, peace proposal a few months ago. That is one hopes that is also being considered. And the United States is also working, you know, closely with the kingdom and other friends of Yemen. We're pushing on all of these tracks, and hopefully I think we are on the right track. But ultimately it is, you know, up to this one group to hopefully put their own narrow self-interest aside and to put the interest of Yemen, you know, as their primary concern.
We're talking with Fahad Nasser. He's a spokesman for the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Fahad, you mentioned Iran earlier as these talks trying to recreate the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Agreement, preventing a nuclear Iran. What is your thoughts on what are happening right now? Russia, who has invaded Ukraine, has been advocating, I guess,